We are here. It is the 28th of March, seven games to go through. Some interesting news that I woke up to. Taylor Jenkins fired from Memphis. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about LaMelo Ball being done for the season. Is that surprising? Probably not. We'll cover all of that. We'll cover the action, some streaming discussion. There always is. Hopefully a lot of questions, so I don't actually have to talk through some of these box scores. Let's get into everything. This is the Friday post-game show. Let's go. Balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do and say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Let's start with the Taylor Jenkins news. Not really fantasy relevant, but it was very curious. Now I popped something on Twitter about this as well. I've never been super high on Taylor Jenkins. I know the Grizzlies have had, well, some success, I suppose. Last year, obviously, a lot of injuries. The year before that, they were very good. This year, they've been fairly good again. So results don't necessarily reflect the coach all the time. He makes curious decisions, I think. I am surprised they fired him. Our opinions as analysts on coaches don't always line up with organizations, and that's fair enough. We all have our own opinion. So while I wasn't the highest on him, it's certainly very intriguing in terms of the timing of this and why it happened. I mean, there's been no indication yet or no word, official sort of release or anything from the team. Something will come surely to outline why this happened. They also fired a couple of assistant coaches, I believe. I guess your mind initially, well, mine did, went to the Ime Udoka situation in Boston when he was fired abruptly because of off-court dramas and issues and things like that. Won't go into details there, but was this something that happened away from the basketball court? Was there just that much, I suppose? Is this a phrase in the NBA? It probably is. Basically, had he lost the locker room, I suppose? The Ja Morant has been out for, well, a significant portion of this season for different reasons. Curiously, he is now questionable tomorrow. So is this related to just the players not having faith in him anymore? There was obviously that incident with Santi Aldama and Desmond Bane a couple of games ago, or the last game, which isn't necessarily uncommon. I mean, playing, everyone's going to have emotions and adrenaline and that sort of thing. So I don't know. It's more of a watch this space. Let's see what happens. Feel like there is more to this story. Whether we will actually get the details, I don't know. But yes, it was curious. So we will see what happens. Games. Let's talk about the games very quickly, and then we'll get into questions. All right, first game of the night. Cleveland, they fall to the Pistons. Very good win for the Pistons. Cleveland were full strength in this one for all intents and purposes. No Ty Jerome, but I mean, he's obviously not having him hurts, but they had their four big starters. They had Isaac Okoro as the fifth starter. Donovan Mitchell was good. Garland was fairly good. Very poor game from Evan Mobley. Just a weird one for him. 9 points on 3 of 10 shooting, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks. Counting stats, not terrible. Just, yeah, a little bit off offensively. Now, he obviously, as I get rid of the bug, he didn't play the night before. Jared Allen, we talked about him. He probably needs a night off, to be honest. He's played every game thus far, but he probably insists that he plays to try and play every game. He had 8 points, four rebounds. So their bigs were just basically played out of this one with no Ty Jerome. We got a little bit more Craig Porter, Sam Merrill, those guys. But generally speaking, we're not interested in them. DeAndre Hunter is our streaming target. For Detroit, making the win even more impressive, no Tobias Harris, no Cade Cunningham. And guys stepped up, which is what they've been doing all season. Dennis Schroeder had a double-double. Asar Thompson had his best game in probably a month, 18 points, 10 rebounds, four blocks, two steals. Now, this is simply to do with Tobias Harris. Nothing to do with Cade Cunningham, I don't think, because Cade has now missed three games. And Asar Thompson really hasn't stepped up in those games. So this was really to do, or more to do, with the fact that Tobias Harris was not there. Tim Hardaway just caught fire, 32 points. Good congratulations if you had him streamed in tonight for threes. He's certainly going to go a long way to helping you win your playoff matchup if you're in the playoffs. Hopefully everyone is. Malik Beasley also played well, 19 points. So it was just a good team performance. Jalen Duren, 16 and 13, steal and a block. Outplayed both Evan Mobley and Jarrett Allen, which is no mean feat. Isaiah Stewart was serviceable off the bench, and a few extra minutes here, but I think Tobias Harris will be back for the next game, and Cade Cunningham is probably getting closer, so I wouldn't worry too much about those. But look, I think we've determined that when Cade is out, we probably have to roster Schroeder. That's where we're at there. All right, the Charlotte Hornets, they lose to the Toronto Raptors. So good loss for the Hornets. It locks them in that bottom three with Washington and Utah. For Toronto, like we've said, they're pretty well locked into where they are now. They're enough ahead of Philly that they're not going to fall back, and they're not close enough to Miami that they're going to jump up. So we'll see what they do with their rotation. For Charlotte, we got word prior to the game that LaMelo Ball is out for the season. Least surprising news of the day, probably. Another disappointing season, I would say, in terms of games played for LaMelo. I still believe that at least a portion of his absences over the last 3 years have been to do with the fact that Charlotte suck and they just... they have no direction. I was going to say poor coaching, but I don't think it is the coaching. I think it's just they remind me a little bit of my team here in the national, in the rugby league competition here, the West Tigers, for any Aussie viewers. I think a lot of it is culture. I think they keep adding some interesting pieces. I mean, on paper, they don't have a terrible team. They've had some injuries, obviously. But I think it's just losing culture is becoming ingrained in Charlotte. They haven't been a good team for so long that they're just accustomed to losing now. And it's hard to dig your way out of quickly, because you get to a position where players aren't wanting to come to Charlotte. Obviously, if you draft someone, they have to come. But in terms of free agents and things like that, it's just not an appealing destination. So it does become really hard. And I feel like Charlotte are in that, just in that really down period at the moment. And it's hard to see them coming out of it anytime soon. Miles Bridges was poor in this one. He had 11 points on 4 of 20 shooting. Mark Williams, look, he was pretty good. 18 and 12, a block, 5 assists, perfect 9 of 9 from the field. Now, they have a back-to-back coming up Sunday, Monday, so be prepared for a missed game there for Mark Williams, if not two. I don't know. I'm fairly certain they play bad teams as well. They do. They play the Pelicans and the Jazz. So, yeah, I mean, both of those games, they want to lose every game. The Jazz are obviously... Hornets, Jazz are two of those three teams, so both will really want to lose that one. Pelicans is sort of, I guess, they do want to lose it, but it's not as crucial. So maybe he plays in the Sunday game and not in the Monday game. But anyway, just keep an eye out. Prepare for missed games. Daquan Jeffries had 15 and 5, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. He's Look, they've got a lot of streaming guys here with all the injuries. KJ Simpson is now on our radar with LaMelo Ball out for the season. 14 points, 3 assists, a steal. None of these numbers are going to blow you away, but at this time of the year, you're just looking for guys that are going to play 25-plus minutes on a regular basis. I think Daquan Jeffries fits that bill. I think KJ Simpson probably does. Nick Smith, maybe. They're probably the guys I'm looking at. Obviously, if Mark Williams sits, you are, or we are, looking at Yusuf Nurkic and or Musa Diabate, neither of which were rosterable tonight. For Toronto, Jakob Poeltl returned, Emmanuel Quickley returned. Like I said, they're pretty locked into their position now. So does that mean they're going to ease off when it comes to resting players? We will see. Jakob Poeltl, he's really hard to drop because he's been playing so well when he's on the court. 24 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block. But he has been playing every second game. So if you picked him up for today or you're holding him, let's see what they do in the next game. RJ Barrett was out in this one, so we got Jameson Battle starting. He did nothing. Manuel Quickley had 19 and 9. Much like Poeltl, he's been pretty good when he's on the floor, but he's only playing 50% of the games. Let's see what happens. Jamal Shedd. Look, is he an ad? I don't think he's an ad, but he's certainly certainly someone we want to consider. I just did the player write-up for him, and he's got decent averages over the last couple of weeks. He's averaging something like 1.5 steals, a couple of threes, double-digit points, 4 to 5 assists. I don't mind him. Orlando Robinson, 5 points, 10 rebounds, 1 steal. If Poeltl is going to continue to rest, I think we look at Robinson. If Poeltl, we sort of determine that he's just going to play out the season now, then Orlando Robinson probably falls back into purely streaming, and that's about it. All right, let's go to the next one. Oh, not with that screen, with this screen. The Clippers, 132 to 100 over Brooklyn. I think they were up by about 40 in the third quarter, I think. So low minutes, don't stress. There's actually very little to take away here other than the fact that Kawhi Leonard was awesome. 31 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks. That Brooklyn bump, it continues, doesn't it? Everyone else did what they needed to do in this one, so I'm just going to go straight down to Brooklyn. Forget that. All right, Brooklyn. Good luck predicting this rotation. Nick Claxton, 6 and 5, 2 blocks, but only 20 minutes. Their starters were also, they basically didn't play after the start of the third quarter. So, again, I'm not reading too much into this. D'Angelo Russell is, what's happened to him? I don't know. I think he's just given up, hasn't he? I'd be very surprised if he's in Brooklyn next year. I think he will do anything he can to get out of there. So I think we're rostering Nick Claxton, probably Zaire Williams, I guess. Trendon Watford had 6, 5 and 5 with 2 steals in 20 minutes. He's on that radar as well. Drew Timmy, who they just signed to a 2-year contract, he had 11 and 10. Keep an eye on him. Dayron Sharp is probably done for the season. They haven't said that, but I wouldn't be surprised. So if Drew Timmy plays as a backup 4-5, he can put up numbers. I think he's coming off a 50-point game in the G League. So, yeah, just keep an eye. Someone to monitor, I think, if he does step into that role permanently. And we got Aboma. He returned. Etienne, he played. I mean, Derek Whitehead, good luck. I don't even want to read this box score. It's just sad. Speaking of sad, Phoenix, they lose again, this time to the Warriors, to the Timberwolves, 124 to 109. Every loss is a bad loss for the Suns at the moment. Remember, they're in that 3-way battle with Sacramento and Dallas for the 9 and 10 play-in game. Currently, Phoenix sit outside that game by, what are they, like a game behind Dallas and 1.5 games behind Sacramento. Both teams probably play tomorrow, I would say. Let's have a look. I know Dallas do. Dallas play the Bulls tomorrow, and Sacramento play Orlando. So winnable for both teams. Chicago obviously playing very well at the moment. Could be a fun game, actually. Dallas at Chicago tomorrow. But yes, going to be interesting to see that battle. For the Suns, Kevin Durant was fine. Devin Booker was not. 10 points, 4 of 14. That hurts at this time of the season. Good season for him? I don't think so. I don't think he's been bad, but I certainly wouldn't say he's been good. The fact that Phoenix haven't been good really hasn't helped. Colin Gillespie is interesting. 22 points, 10 assists. The scoring is not real. 9 of 11, he's not going to do that. But I think we've determined that he is ahead of Tyus Jones. Bradley Beal will come back at some point and probably slide into that spot unless they shift everyone around and play Colin Gillespie in that Tyus Jones role from earlier in the season. Remains to be seen. But I think until Beal's back, maybe we look at Gillespie. Assists, steals, they are somewhat real. So I don't mind taking a bit of a flyer on him. Nick Richards was pathetic. 3 points, 4 rebounds. You don't need to hold him. Ryan Dunn, he's sort of borderline hold. I think 9 and 3, he had a block. Royce O'Neal, he popped off the bench. 21 points in 24 minutes. Obviously, that's not going to hold either. All 21 points came from the perimeter, 7 of 12 from 3. Don't need to chase that performance at all. And for Minnesota, it was a fairly comfortable win. Randall was good in this one. Look, I mean, to be fair, all the starters were fine. Don't really need to talk about them too much, I don't think. It was just a fairly comfortable win. Naz Reid, 9, 7, and 4. I think we're holding him, but he has been a little bit underwhelming the last month, as has Dante DiVincenzo, 13 and 5, 2 steals. Not surprisingly, they're leaning a little bit more into Mike Conley as we near the playoffs because they need him on the floor. That's pretty clear. So I think he will continue to start. The minutes will be up and down, but Conley is probably worth holding. DiVincenzo, likewise, I think we can hold him as well. All right, the Knicks. They defeat the Bucks, 116-107. Josh Hart, nice bounce back from him. 13 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Anunoby continues to be just weirdly offensively minded. Not to say he's not giving you defensive stuff, because he did give you 3 steals here, but 31 points on 9 of 21 shooting, 10 of 10 from the line. If you've got him in your roster over the last 2 weeks, you have to be very happy with what he's been doing. Cat, not his best game, 14 and 10, 2 steals. Is he the least impactful rim-protecting center in the league? He'd have to be close. I think he's averaging like 0.6 blocks or 0.7 blocks. For a guy that big, that is frustratingly low. Not surprising. Steals are actually not terrible, but just in terms of protecting the rim, has he just given up on blocking shots? He might have. Mikal Bridges was good. DeLon Wright got the start over Tyler Kolek. Look, I think if McBride, Brunson, I have to remember them all, don't I, and Campaign are going to continue to miss time, you probably have to go and add DeLon Wright. 12 points, 4 assists, 1 steal. We know that he has a very fantasy-friendly game. If he's going to play 30 minutes a night, you have to add him. Tyler Kolek had 5 assists. He can be an assists streamer, nothing else. And then we know the rest. We know as long as this team is relatively healthy, there's not a lot of value here. All right. Let's go to the Bucks. Giannis, now he played in this one. Good game from him. Kuzma actually stepped up a little bit, 20 points. He had a steal, 5 rebounds. So not his worst game. He's okay to hold with Dame out for the season. He's going to give you points most nights. Starting point guard discussion. Now, we didn't know if it was going to be Kevin Porter. We didn't know if it was going to be Ryan Rollins. It was Ryan Rollins. 20 points, 4 assists would usually get you a steal. if we were guaranteed that Rollins was going to start and play 30 minutes, I would say go and pick him up. But we are not at this point. Kevin Porter only played 14 minutes. I think this is going to be a situation where, look, I wouldn't be surprised if Rollins starts just because he is a point guard. Kevin Porter sort of is, but I think they'll go with Ryan Rollins. But if Porter comes off the bench and hits his first three shots, for example, then he probably plays 26 minutes and Ryan Rollins plays 22 minutes or something like that. So I think it'll be a bit of a minutes kind of split based on who's playing well. Who would I prefer? Well, based on this one, I guess it's Ryan Rollins. But don't be surprised if it's Kevin Porter who steps up. Gary Trent, I think we still have to hold him. He had 14 points here, zero steals. But the minutes, 34 minutes, you're going to get like 3 to 4 3-pointers and generally 1 to 2 steals from him. So I think he's okay to roster. I'd certainly have him over Taurean Prince if that was a discussion that we wanted to have. But we don't want to have it, do we? Golden State, 111. Pelicans, 95. Steph Curry returned, 23 points for him. Draymond Green was a little bit better in this one. Only 6 points, but he had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals and a block. So just giving you those counting stats, which is why you're holding him. Jimmy Butler was 18 and 10, fine. Moses Moody had 7 points. Look, I think now that they're getting back to full health, we hold Draymond Green, we hold Steph Curry, we hold Jimmy Butler. We probably hold Jonathan Kuminga. Everyone else is just a streamer. Quentin Post, Buddy Hield, I suppose, if you're desperate. Brandon Pajemski, Moses Moody. I think they've moved off the must roster radar, or must roster list, onto the stream as required list. For the Pelicans, look, again, a little bit like Brooklyn. Hard to know. Is Zion out for the season? Fair chance that that is the case. CJ McCollum was out for this one. No word that he is going to be out for the season, but he probably sits more than he plays moving forward. Jordan Hawkins had 8 points, poor shooting. Alvarado, 4 assists. Eve Misi has been arguably the most consistent player there over the last couple of weeks. So I think we hold him. Kelly Olynyk, look, the minutes are really nice, 29 of them, 32 for Bruce Brown. That's a Bruce Brown special right there, 18.7 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. That is a 12-team line, but he could sit the next game. He could play 15 minutes the next game. He could play 30 minutes the next game. So I really don't think you have to hold anyone on this roster. Maybe Eve Misi. Maybe Alvarado. Beyond that, I don't think so. Elfrid Payton is someone to watch, obviously. If we get to a point where he is forced into significant minutes, he can get you assists. He got 10 of them in this one. And just keep an eye on the injury report there with Zion and CJ to see if we get any indication of their availability moving forward. Final game of the night, Denver, comfortable win over the Utah Jazz, 129-93 for the Jazz. I think we hold Filipowski at this point, 18 and 13 with 2 steals. There was no Walker Kessler. He was sick. Of course he was. 7 points, 10 rebounds for Oscar Tshiebwe. Is he now on this streaming radar in Utah? I guess so. Obviously an illness is not something, it's probably not something that's going to rule Kessler out for multiple games, but who knows what the Jazz are going to do here. So just keep an eye on Tshiebwe. He is a good rebounder. Collier had 7 assists in 32 minutes. Colin Sexton, 20 points in his 23 minutes. And Keontae George, 18 points in 35 minutes. All three of those guys can be rostered. Sensabaugh is nudging into the discussion, at least to be rostered. Cody Williams is not. And the Denver Nuggets, everyone healthy here except for Jamal Murray. This may have been just a rest kind of situation for him. Jokic didn't have to do a lot, but still a fantastic line, 27, 14, and 6 with 4 steals. Aaron Gordon This is the Aaron Gordon we know and love. 6 points, five rebounds, five assists. We probably roster him just because he's playing decent minutes. Michael Porter, Christian Brown, they were fine. Peyton Watson started in this one. Interestingly, they just went big. 8 points, five rebounds, four assists, three blocks and a steal. He's been very good for defensive stats over the last couple of weeks. So I don't mind just holding him until he has a bad game. Russell Westbrook, 17.7 assists, three steals off the bench. Favorable matchup. He's fine to stream. I don't think you have to hold him. And then obviously with Jokic back, we don't need to hold DeAndre Jordan. All right, let's get to questions. Nerdy Nerd, how is my knee? My knee is okay. I had physio today, so it's a little bit sore, a little bit tender, but progressing well. I'm able to do some sort of squat things and up and down stairs a little bit, given it's only been 10 days since I had the surgery. I'm pretty happy with how it's progressing at the moment. So, yeah, fingers crossed it stays, all stays positive. No problems at all, Dave. Happy to do a show. I wasn't going to, but I thought it's a Friday and I know we don't always get, well, other podcasts and things don't always do a Friday recap or a Saturday recap. So I'll probably do one today, probably do one tomorrow as well. Okay, with only one move left this week, who would I add for the back-to-back between Butler, Barnes and Champagne? Butler. So we're talking Jared Butler. We're talking Harrison Barnes. Let me have a look. Where are we? Okay, yes, Harrison Barnes, Jared Butler, and who was your third one there? Champagne. Well, it depends what stats you need, really. If you need points, you go Champagne or Barnes. Butler might get you some assists. I mean, if you're looking for blocks, Adembona might be an option as well in Philly. So, yeah, it probably depends a little bit on what you are looking for. But, I mean, Barnes is fairly just boring Barnes. We know who he is. So he doesn't have a lot of upside. Butler, Champagne have at least a little bit of upside. So, you're behind in assists only. Okay, so maybe Butler if you're looking for assists. David Levy, Twitter is glitching. Well, hopefully it's not glitching for everyone. But, yes, YouTube is an option, obviously. With your last move, should you – my last move, should I drop – Keontae and add Butler or Champagne for the back-to-back. Somehow you're going to lose assists for only the second or third time all season, down about 30. Look, if you're trying to stick, as I said, with assists, then I would go Butler. But if you've given up on assists and you're just looking for bodies on the floor and numbers, probably go Champagne. Mondez up 6-3 in a tight matchup, 2 days left. Hopefully you can make it to the finals because Maxi might play next week. Hopes are low. They are low, but you never know. We didn't think Anthony Davis would play. David could also wait till tomorrow and just stream for Sunday based on what's needed. You could do that. But just check on – oh, no, I think the schedule's fairly balanced. I was going to say, I know on Sunday in my final that I'm in, I think I've got how many active do we have? I think we have 8 active roster spots. I think I've got 10 players playing. So, but that might be more of just me having guys who happen to be playing rather than a lot of games being on Sunday. Alex, spot on with Charlotte and their culture. Why doesn't it affect Jordan's legacy and how does it affect Bron's legacy? I don't think it affects either of their legacies, really. This has nothing to do with Jordan as a player, so his legacy remains firm, I think. But, yes, it is worrying in Charlotte. Alex, are Brown and Peyton adds in points leagues? Watson on a tear but kept the float on high defensive stats. He is. Does that keep up for next week? I'd rather, if you're looking at it in a points league and you can pick between one of those two, I'd definitely go Christian Brown over Peyton Watson. Peyton has been very good, like I said, but it is defensive stats. So, I would go Peyton. in that one. Chad, welcome to the show. Chad, what an insane game by Gillespie. It was a good game. And Igodaro is going to be fascinating heading into next year because they don't really have a centre. I mean, Nick Richards is not it. Plumlee is not it, obviously. So, yeah, where does he fit? Cat is, I was thinking about this actually. Cat is very good at in a punt blocks build for next season. If you are looking at a guard heavy build, but you want to start with a center, I did that in one of my leagues and I won the league. I got Jokic with my first pick and then I punted blocks. Cat is very good. He fits that now because he's getting you like 4 to 5 assists. I don't know what his averages are. I don't have them, but I feel like he gets a steal a game. He's not as good as Jokic, but he is in that mold, I suppose. All right, what else have we got? Apple Pie. Chet, averaging 25 fantasy points over the last 2 weeks, probably your worst player. Would I drop him to stream next week? He has been pretty bad. I know that. I don't have him anywhere, but I've heard things and I know he's not really playing well. Who have they got next week? Chicago, Detroit, Houston, Lakers. So they have four games. It's a balanced schedule, so there's no back-to-backs. That's not to say he plays in all four games. I'd probably hold. Chicago is a pretty favourable matchup for him. Detroit is fairly good as well. Lakers is a favourable matchup. I'd probably hold him unless you've got 7 ads though. So, yeah, I mean, they play Monday. I mean, hold him. Oh, sorry. Yeah, hold him for the Monday game against the Bulls, see what he does and probably decide from there. Yeah, I'd tend to hold, but I understand if you want to stream. Do I think Elfrid Payton has played his way into a real contract next year? Potentially not a contract that's going to put him in a position to play meaningful minutes, I don't think. He's a fine player, but I don't think anyone's going to sign him to play 25 minutes a game or anything like that. Admiral Nida, better silly season hold for next week. Bub Carrington, Asar Thompson, or Mattis Buzelis. Carrington, so what do we got there? Washington, Detroit, Chicago. Sorry, I'm just looking at the schedule. So the Wizards have 4 games. Chicago have 4 games. And who is the other team? Detroit. Detroit have 4 games and all 4 teams have a back-to-back as well. So I guess of the three players, in terms of anyone at risk of missing one of the back-to-back games, it's probably Bub Carrington. I don't think that'll happen. Asar Thompson he was good today, but I do think that is because Tobias was out. So better silly season hold. Look, you could make a case for all of them, I think. I think I like Buzelis, but the Bulls are playing to win. So if he's not playing well, they won't play him. Maybe it's Carrington, just because he'll probably play 30 minutes every night. I don't know. I'll go Bub just because of I think he has the upside to play the most. Apple Pie, Zion out today. How close do I think we are to his permanent shutdown? I think we're close. No word on it, but it's a back injury. And that's, I guess, the luxury they have with a back injury is that they don't really have to provide any updates. If it was an ankle sprain, other than Brandon Ingram, who knows what's going on with his ankle. But usually with an ankle, if you're out for 2 weeks, people start to go, okay, well, what's going on here? With a back, who knows? Mark Williams missed, all of a season? Remember years ago, Evan Fournier got a back injury that cost him like 3 months. So, yeah, back injuries are very broad. So they're not they can just play this day by day, basically. So, yeah, I'm hoping we hear something, but I'm not certain. How much do we trust Bruce Brown for a spot stream? Only three games next week. So they play Sunday. They don't then play till Wednesday. So they have, what, two games in the next one, two, three, four, five, 6 nights. I probably wouldn't stream him based on that schedule. Who do I think is most likely type of coach for the Grizzlies? Sounds like it was a Ja Morant appeasement. Yeah, look, it does a little bit sound, which I'm surprised. As I said, I'm not that high on Taylor Jenkins, but it's not like Ja Morant has been healthy and playing well and a model citizen for this team. So I am surprised that they're caving to him. I mean, maybe that's not the case, but who do I think is the most likely type of coach? Look, I think it's a role that a lot of coaches would appeal to a lot of coaches. I can't even think off the top of my head who's available. Are they just going to stick with the guy? I can't even think of his name, but the guy that stepped in as he was one of the assistant coaches. He was the head coach, I think, for France at the Olympics, and obviously they played very well there. Do they view him as a long-term coach? I don't know. Is Dan Hurley in play after that's now the streak is over? Maybe he was in the Lakers discussion. I think if we remember back, 12 months or whenever it was, turned that down. Maybe they look at him. I don't know. How close do I think Cade is to a return? Look, I think he's probably close-ish. I feel like they're being cautious here. They're winning games without him, so they're just not having to rush him back. So I think if they were in a position where they have to win, they probably would have brought him back in the last game or this one. So I'm hoping it's maybe the next game, the one after. Okay, so apparently the current head coach is coach of the year in the EuroLeague. Yeah, look, he could be. I don't know. It was weird that they fired Jenkins and a couple of assistant coaches, and then this assistant coach got promoted to the head job. Like that's interesting, because usually if you're going to fire a head coach and his regime, I suppose they're all working towards a common goal. But for this one coach to be singled out and promoted, that just to me is curious. So we'll see what happens there. And that will do. I'm going to go and watch some football. And I can't even have a beer because I'm on all my pain meds. So maybe I'll just have some pain meds and watch the football, build a bit of Lego, have something to eat. I'm going to go and have a nice quiet afternoon. Thank you everyone for watching along. Now I'm just reading through, sorry, while I do this, maybe next week, what are we saying? Sorry, I'm just in a group chat with Dan. Okay. As I type. All right. Yes. So thank you. Some news coming maybe soonish. Just some small changes that are coming, heading into next season, which is exciting. So follow me, on social media there, and I'll get stuff up there. Purdue and Houston still going. Let's give a very brief, NCAA update, because I was watching these games. Oh, so Auburn got up over Michigan. Okay, that one was close. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to turn it on here. All right, I am going to get out of here so I can maybe watch the last, well, maybe overtime in that game. I'll be back tomorrow, fairly certain, with a show. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website, at fbibasketball.com.